Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Grand Cast. I'm your host, ChrisN.org. Today is Friday, February 24th, 2017. And tonight, since it is nighttime, it's 8:50 almost p.m. It's dark out. My guest is the one, the only, Josh Heller. Maybe I'll insert a sound clip of people clapping here. Oh, that works too. So, like always, I want to go over the mission statement and the goals list for any new listeners.
Boo, get him off the stage.
That hurts. Now I know what it's like to be in Planned Parenthood.
Woo! That was awesome!
Just kidding. I love Planned Parenthood, and all your shows are the best. The mission statement, which has not been revised from last week, since I couldn't find anything to remove or add, is: the purpose of the Grandcast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. And the goals are to post one new episode weekly and to make at least one person's day better through the creation of quality content. So hopefully, Josh, you and I together can achieve one of those goals.
Well, we should pick someone. Let's target somebody.
Ooh.
Let's look on Facebook. And the first person, I'm going to do a refresh, so not the first person that I'm looking at right now. But I'm going to go out to the home. And I'm going to refresh.
Like the most recent post or
I'm so happy with the first thing that came up. You know who it is?
Paul Brand?
It's Paul Brand.
Oh! It is.
Yep.
I see it.
So, Paul Brand, if you're out there, keep audio it up.
Audio high fives?
Audio high fives. For sure.
And I didn't even do the too slow.
Oh, congratulations on Paul and Amanda moving in together.
Really?
Congratulations. I think I'm interpreting Facebook correctly when I say that. So, congrats there.
I missed that on the news feed.
Your red shoes are dope. I like your beard. What else?
Impeccable taste in t-shirts.
Yeah, t-shirt.
Firefox.
T-shirt game, A+.
Wikipedia.
Firefox, Wikipedia.
Very socially conscious.
Absolutely.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Not the t-shirts. Well, not those t-shirts.
The man. The man inside the t-shirts.
The man inside the t-shirts.
Also, a little bit of a hottie.
Oh, yeah. Like a young Ron Swanson, maybe.
That wouldn't have been my pool, but I'm not gonna argue.
Who would you go for? A young Josh Heller?
No. I don't know. Like a white guy with brown hair and a beard, who's funny and good.
Jesus?
Like Jesus. I don't think that's right.
There's a lot of subtext in the Bible that's hilarious. People don't read between the lines, though, so they miss it.
You have to make your own fun.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was edited out by King James.
Yeah, they edited mint in it.
mint in it?
Yeah, they edited mint into it.
Oh, mint into it.
Yeah, if you read the Bible...
There are a lot of mentions of mint.
Yeah, if you look at the source text, there's no mint in it. They edited it in.
What was the original language? It was like Aramaic or something?
That's the language that was in the Passion of Christ, so I'm certain that all parts of the Bible were originally in Aramaic. And then when they translated out of Aramaic, that's when they edited mint into it.
Edited mint into it.
Correct.
And then King James took out the fun stuff.
He took out a lot of the fun stuff. There was a lot of drinking games in the Bible. And that's just when the concept of a teenager was becoming popular. And they were worried about teen drinking because of the grain shortages. So, you know, and that just exacerbated the whole mint thing.
And also the Book of Gallagher was cut out. Very loquacious descriptions of food exploding.
Every word that you just said is correct.
It wasn't until, I think, like the 1980s.
In 1984.
1984, when...
Gallagher 2, the book of the Bible, Gallagher and Gallagher 2.
Was discovered in a cave in, was it Palestine?
It was what is today known as Palestine.
Just amazing stuff.
Yeah. I have a subscribe to Nat Geo, and that's how I know all this.
The paper magazine version?
Yeah, the paper. It's glossy.
Glossy?
Yeah, it's a glossy paper.
Are there still Breastises?
I don't read it, so I don't know.
Oh, you just subscribe to it.
I have a subscribe, yeah.
Does it get you exclusive online content?
There's some exclusives, and that's, yeah, mostly I get it sent to my smartphone.
Are there any Breastises in the smartphone?
Big time, yeah.
Big time Breastises?
In a very real and large way, there are breasts of all sizes because smartphones can access the internet, and it's...
Please don't hit the table.
I know. As soon as I did it, I was like, oh, I'm going to get scolded.
That's right. I'm doing that for the listeners.
Yeah.
Tom, specifically.
I mean,
and hopefully
I'm hurting myself because I'm going to listen to this.
Yeah. Maybe Paul Brand is listening.
I very much hope that he at least listens to the part because we put the nice stuff right up front.
Yeah.
He's going to hear intro music. He's going to say, what is this? You're going to immediately tell him, Grandcast.
That's right.
Mission statement. Has it been edited since last time? No. Was mint edited into the Bible? Hold on, because we're going to say things about Paul first and then tell you.
That's right. All right. So there's two portions of the podcast. We're going to go through an interview portion, take a short break, and then do a few little mini segments. So let's get into the interview section here. And many people don't know, you were on the very first episode of the Grandcast, which is archived. I put it into the vault because of audio issues. That was the first time I had ever recorded a podcast, and the settings were less than ideal. So that's tucked away for a rainy day.
I'm thinking Patreon backer exclusives.
Yeah.
Along back with, exclusives.
Yeah, maybe. Someday. I've never used Patreon? Patreon?
Patreon? You've never become a patron?
Not through their website.
Well, you should consider it. I think the only thing that I give to is the Fuse Box, the local comedy and arts venue, right downtown South Division, Grand Rapids.
I'll Michigan. Be there tomorrow.
Yeah. Ned Talk's there tomorrow. I think we'll all be there tomorrow.
You'll be
if you're listening to this, and you're Chris, because he's not going to release it until afterwards. So if you're listening to this, Chris, remember to go to Fusebox tomorrow.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
It'll probably be out Sunday.
Yeah.
I heard Brittany is DJing.
Brittany is DJing, that's correct.
I've never seen her DJ, so that'll be exciting for me.
It's going to be great for you.
Does she take requests?
She might take requests.
Hmm.
She doesn't have a hard and fast rule against requests, but she does a lot of prep. So she's not primarily there for requests. She's not a jukebox. She's a jockey of discs.
Yeah. If you went to see Daft Punk, you wouldn't like request songs from them.
I wouldn't say, "Excuse me, Mr. Punk, can I hear Piano Man, please?"
It's a very good point. So, since this is your second episode,
I'm kind of like the Steve Martin of the Grand Cast.
Why?
Did he host SNL the most? Maybe someone else has surpassed him now. That's what I was going for. Like a returning guest of Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
He's nodding, yes. You can't hear it, but he is. He's smiling now.
That was for you, not for them.
Sorry.
All right, so since this is your second episode, in a lot of ways, it's like a sequel. So I thought we could discuss some movie sequels.
Unless you're talking about the sneakquel to the Chipmunks movie, which then would be the squeakquel.
Yeah. Or the Breaking Bad film series, the second one, which was Tweakful.
Yeah, it was the Tweakle.
Tweakle?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it kind of jumped the shark after the first movie when they switched from meth to heroin.
It's sad.
But it's exciting because they're dealing with contemporary issues like the fentanyl crisis, all the people overdosing.
I don't even want to joke about it.
No.
It's gross.
It's bad. Don't do heroin.
No.
You recently saw the film John Wick 2, which is a sequel to the first film, John Wick.
It's a slight clarification there, Chris. The film I viewed was titled, do you have this?
John Wick Chapter 2?
John Wick Chapter 2, correct.
Even though the first one wasn't titled John Wick Chapter 1.
They probably wanted to hedge their bets a little bit. Wanted to see reception before they made that promise. That's my guess. I have no special access to the filmmakers.
That's not what I heard.
Well, that's what I'm here to clear up.
All right. Well, how was that film for you, in your opinion?
So, John Wick Chapter 2 helped me understand something about how I experience action movies. And I used to think that I didn't like action movies where the parts that weren't action are kind of dumb. You certainly seen a movie like, oh, I love the part where there were cars and shooting, but everything else made me feel like the filmmakers thought I was a moron, and I didn't like that feeling. So I'm normally pretty snobby about my action films. John Wick Chapter 2, the parts that weren't the drivey, shooty parts kind of made me feel like a moron. But the ratio of drivey shooty to non-drivey shooty was like 95-5. So it totally didn't matter. And that's why I'm watching a genre movie anyways. So it was fantastic. So you just have to know the parts where people are talking are kind of dumb. But it was really fun. Unless you don't like violence. As I age and becoming more sensitive to on-screen violence. And I was able to enjoy this movie, but it really was, you know, a lot of people getting hurt.
I'll have to see that sometime. I really enjoyed the first one up until the point towards the end where it turned into a commercial for a shitty Dodge car. Did that happen in the second one?
There's certainly some lustful shots of cars, but I didn't get the feeling that they were trying to sell them to me. You might have a keener eye for that, but that's not the experience I had.
Okay, that's good to hear. But you remember that in the first one?
It's been a long time. I watched it in the theaters. I don't recall.
Oh. I won't go into details in case people haven't seen the first one, because it's a really well-done movie, except for that one part, which might only bother me because...
You know what? Without that part, maybe that movie wouldn't have gotten financed.
Maybe, yeah.
Sometimes you just need to watch the commercial.
Yeah, Maybe. Maybe I should be less cynical about product placement. I just feel like it severely compromises the artistic integrity of the film. And
did
it can't
the,
be making
did the
that
product
much
placement
money off it.
Harm the integrity? Or did you getting hung up on the implications of the product placement actually interrupt your experience of the movie? If you were just a moron who said, oh, that's a real good-looking car and I can tell, wouldn't you have just liked it?
It's probably because I know about the reliability ratings for Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep brands.
Now, that's kind of silly because you know that a lot of stuff that happened in that movie isn't very realistic. Right?
It was just the way that the vehicle was portrayed as being like this super amazing gift that was given to him. Like, this is the best car ever made.
You know that hitmen in the world aren't like a thieves guild. And you know the world doesn't treat violence like it's in a video game. But you're fine with that. Why can't the car just run good?
Violence in a video game, like in Call of Duty, that's
yeah,
pretty
it's
realistic.
Very Call of Duty like violence.
Well, that's like real life. Like, that's what's happening over in the Middle East. Like, when you play the game and there's an AC-130 and it's just blasting people on the ground, like that's what it's like. And the drone strikes, and maybe they don't use remote control cars to explode people, but I don't know. That's probably the best way to sum it up, is I don't know. So, yeah. I think those are fair points on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I think we both had a lot of good ideas. I think it was pretty even on both sides.
And I would lean towards you probably being more correct.
And it's frustrating for me to hear you say that, because I would lean towards you a little bit, and now I feel like we almost found an equilibrium and we're kind of at each other's throats again.
Did you see the film Equilibrium?
Oh, I think I did.
Speaking of gratuitous violence.
Is that another gung-fu movie?
It is.
The guy who plays Batman?
Christian Bale.
With Christian Bale?
Was that Christian Bale? I haven't seen that movie in forever. It looked like him.
I think I've seen it. I think I saw it a long time ago and I don't recall it very well.
It's all right.
I should talk while you're having a sip of beer to cover the dead air.
If you want to. I think we'll have to ask Tom if he likes the sporadic pauses.
I don't like sporadic pauses when I'm listening to your podcast, because it often sounds like my Bluetooth connection to my car is failing.
Yep.
And I check my phone and I find out, oh no, there's just dead air.
I kind of enjoy that, personally. Keeps me engaged. Star Wars Episode 2, another famous Episode 2, even though this is Episode 7, but it's your second episode. Attack of the Clones. Are you worried about a clone uprising?
So, we're not talking about Star Wars, we're talking about the concept of a clone uprising.
Yes.
Excellent. I think our generation will worry about a clone uprising the way the generation before us trends towards xenophobia. So I worry for us, but I don't worry for humanity. I think we're going to expand our definition of what it means to be a person, all right? And we're going to find they're just doing their best to get through the day, same as you and me, brother.
Yeah. Good answer. Thank you. Would you clone yourself?
No.
That was emphatic and immediate.
I'm not particularly healthy or valuable or useful person. I don't expect to take
dispute those claims.
Pleasure from additional copies of me. It's hard for me to imagine the circumstances where, and although it's fun to joke about, you know, I'm not trying to have sex with a clone of myself. That's a great idea. And I can see you're making like wolf's eyes and like rolling out your tongue like, oh my god. Yeah, exactly. And that's fun for fun and games, but I don't think that that's the way that we should use the technology.
But there's no way I could be flexible enough to suck my own dick with one copy of myself.
So you're imagining a future where you could clone yourself, but there's no sort of bodily modification that would allow you to suck your own dick. That's pretty unimaginative.
I'm thinking unimaginative. Of a 69 clone. Would that make me gay?
You know, I think by the time you're sucking your own clone's dick, you're going to be way past worried about if you're gay or not.
Yeah, it's the future. There's no more labels. There'd probably be judgment.
It'd be nice if there
weren't
labels right now. But you know what? Right now, you worry about if you suck your own clone's dick, am I gay?
That's probably my own deal.
Like, yeah. We all have stuff to work on.
Yeah. I'm being too close-minded and judgmental, I guess. And labelful. Labeling?
Labelful.
Labelful?
Yeah.
I'm a labelite. One of my favorite things to do at work is actually to print little labels and apply them to computers. Maybe that says something about my personality in general.
Do you get frustrated when people don't use the correct naming scheme?
Yeah. A little bit. But it also adds some variety and spice, like keeps you on your toes.
Okay. That's pretty broad-minded of you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Finding Dory. Have you found Dory?
Do you mean have I seen the film Finding Dory?
You can take it however you'd like.
Well, that's the way I'm going to take it. I haven't seen Finding Nemo or Finding Dory.
Whoa.
I'm really bad about watching movies for children. It just rarely comes up for me. I mean, they're marketed to children. I'm not saying other people can't enjoy them. I think you understood my comment. He's taking a defensive posture right now. He's doing like, he's miming like he's going to break a pencil, then he's pointing at me like I'm the pencil he's going to break me. And I acknowledge that move, but that doesn't change that a lot of these movies are just marketed towards kids. And maybe they work on a level for grown-ups, but that's the exception to the rule. The rule is they work on a level for children. Okay? So I'm going to tell you what I've seen, so you don't have to ask me what I haven't seen. I've seen WALL-E.
Aww.
And I've seen, what's the one with superheroes? The Incredibles. Invincibles. The Incredibles. I've seen The Incredibles. I have not seen other Pixar films.
Up?
Oh, I've seen, I've seen way more than I thought. I've seen Up, Toy Story, and Toy Story 2.
Not Toy Story 3?
Not Toy Story 3.
If there's some night where you feel like you want to cry, you can come over and watch Toy Story 3.
I will not do that until after we have watched Sina Doki Hauchi Hokita.
New York. Yeah, you need to watch that movie multiple times, apparently. The first time through, I kind of got lost a little bit in the middle. And I was confused about where it was headed. But once I saw like the conclusion of it, it's like, oh, that's what's going on. It was just... apparently, it's like reading the book Infinite Jest, where there's a lot of like self-referential stuff. And you don't really get the whole picture until after you've reached the end. And sure. You have to go back and redo it.
Sure.
I don't know from first-hand experience. That's just what I've heard.
I've read Infinite Jest, but I haven't watched that movie, so...
Once? You read it once?
I read it once.
Do you feel...
And I got to tell you, I was tempted to turn the last page of the primary text back to the first page of the primary text and start reading again, and I did, and I got about 20 pages in, and I said, I've got to step away from this. I can't just be reading this book for another... Because I'm not a particularly fast reader. I mean, it took me months and months.
It's a lot of pages,
yeah,
too.
It's a lot. Maybe if I were unemployed for a period of time, or I mean, even then, I don't know that I'd invest the time.
I was going to ask you, where did Nemo go? But since...
I know that there were sharks. He lived in a reef. He's a clownfish. He has one small arm. He probably found his family at the end.
I'm not going to spoil it for you. You should watch it. It's a very good film.
That's what I think. That's just my opinion.
And then the final question related to the films, which you don't need to have seen them for this to apply. What's the average lifespan for a fish?
What's the average lifespan for fish? Captivity? Breed?
I don't know.
All right. I'm going to go with...
They were in the ocean, so ocean fish.
Oh, okay. Let's say ocean fish.
Something that lives on a reef.
Something that lives on a reef. I'm going to say, you know, average lifespan is probably about 26 weeks.
Half a year.
Yeah.
Hmm. The upcoming Avatar sequel, Avatar 2, Return to Pandora.
So this is the blue people, not the airbender.
Correct.
Okay.
Coming out December 2018.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
No.
What did you think of Avatar 1?
I thought it was fun. It was one of the first movies I saw in IMAX 3D. And I like the theater experience. So there's a lot I liked about it there. It was a movie that... you know, it made me think, and the reality is it's just a movie that's made for a very broad audience, perhaps an international audience, but it made me feel like they expected me to be dumber than I was. I don't like that experience. So that was a problem.
Hmm. Is James Cameron raising the bar?
You're just asking me, is James Cameron raising the bar? I don't know.
Oh, okay. There's a South Park episode about James Cameron raising the bar and for culture, like making sophisticated movies that aren't about farts and boobies and boners, whatnot.
You know what? When the Nat Geo newsletter addresses it, I'll give you a recap.
Okay. That's fair. Speed 2, Keanu or Sandra? Keanu was not in the second one, but Sandra was.
And the question is, Speed 2, Keanu or Sandra?
Just because they were both in the first movie and she continued into the second movie, which I think was about a cruise ship?
Yeah, I thought it was on a boat. I didn't watch it.
I don't
and
think
I'm going to say it's Sandra's world, clearly. They didn't need Keanu. I mean, either he had other obligations or he was difficult to work with. I doubt that.
Oh, I was going more for which of them as actors is better for you.
You know, I really don't have a conception of Sandra Bullock as an actor. So
Gravity? You see Gravity?
I did. You know, I'm still going to give it to her. I'm not going to change my answer because you clarified the question.
Okay.
That's below each of us.
It's below me. Josh is winking with his mouth open.
I am.
Terminator 2.
Okay, I'm worried about what you're going to say next.
There's nothing else written down, so I'm not going to say anything.
Can I ask you a question?
I'll
yes
allow
or no
it.
Question. Is Terminator 2, T2? I'm going to start over.
Judgment Day.
Is T2, JD, a better film than Die Hard? Excuse me, recap. Is T2, JD, a better action movie than Die Hard? That's the question.
The first Die Hard.
The first Die Hard up against Ooh. The second Terminator. And I really think, well, I'm going to just keep it to myself.
I think that I prefer robots being an enemy as opposed to German terrorists, which I believe the... is that... protagonist or antagonist of the Die Hard film series. They were Germans and
I mean
terrorists, opportunists. You know, I don't know.
They were kind of more like just thieves.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with you calling them terrorists.
Well, that's like modern culture. Like anybody that commits a crime is a terrorist now.
I mean, the definition of terror kind of involves, are you terrorized by it? Those people seem pretty terrorized in that building. They were having a Christmas party. They were having a sleazy 80s Christmas party.
Yeah, there was blow and coitus and...
And whatever their sins may be, they weren't expecting to have guns pushed into their faces.
No.
That's unpleasant. Even though they lived in 1980s New York. 90s, huh? 90s. It was early 90s, wasn't it?
Los Angeles? He was from New York.
He was from New York. They went to L.A. Well, L.A., I mean, that's just going to be filthier.
A den of sodomists and Gomorrists? Gomoring is a thing?
It's fallen out of fashion, but it's certainly a thing.
Gomori?
Gamory.
Maybe I have. I just didn't know what it was called.
Yeah, have you ever done something that made you feel filthy and you're like, there should be a word for this?
Yeah.
Then you're a Gomorist.
Oh boy. That explains why.
So I think what you're telling me is that you believe that T2JD is a better movie than DH Chapter 1. A better action movie.
I prefer the premise.
Yeah. And I feel the same way. And I'm hoping that Zach listens to this because we've argued a little bit about it. You know, and he can be kind of a real dickhead. He's really... Passionate. A little bit, I was going to say a shit for brains.
Wow, that's so mean.
But when I step back, I think it's really about, do you like sci-fi premises? Because if you do, you're probably going to like Terminator 2 better.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to forgive him, even though he's a real crap sandwich.
That's so mean to Zach. Zach's a good kid.
I strongly disagree.
Whoa. I think Die Hard was comedically a better film.
Sure. It's a much more human film.
And
but what's more human?
There were more boobies in Die Hard.
Probably.
It was half a second worth as, like just running across the screen, but I remember vividly.
In Chris's defense to the viewer, I want to remind you that Chris watched this at a tender age.
Those were some of the first boobies I'd ever seen in my life.
This isn't how he judges a movie now. This doesn't reflect the way he thinks about women now.
That's true. But for films, I like a little tease in the film. It's just nice. It releases endorphins. I can't help that.
He can't help that. It's not biological. Going to take responsibility for that.
No. How could I?
He's going to make an appeal to nature for that.
I'm not going to apologize for
what he's makes no my... apologist.
Not when it comes to that. For other things, maybe. Batman, The Dark Knight. Again, no further words. I was trying to hit on movies where I felt the sequel was superior to the,
that
not
second,
prequel, but the
that
original.
That second Christopher Nolan Batman movie.
Oh my gosh.
Is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
I remember going to see 300 in IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you recall, we've probably had this conversation because I'm passionate and you're passionate. We're a couple of passionate people.
We are.
The trailer for that second Christopher Nolan Batman movie was the first 8 minutes of that second Christopher Nolan Batman movie. And those first 8 minutes are a beautiful heist setup that introduces the Joker character.
Ooh.
The Joker character may be the best on-screen super villain.
Just villain?
Maybe.
Of all time, so far.
Maybe, yeah. You got so much. It was way...
The trailer for that second Christopher Nolan Batman movie in IMAX was better than the movie I was there to see.
Yeah. And it, the whole movie ended up being
on And I've par. Watched it a number of times since, and it's still great. I really like that movie.
Yeah. There's everything about it. There's no detractors, in my opinion. Was there any other aspect of the
I really like the Pete Holmes Batman character that he does based on the Christopher Nolan's Batman.
I don't believe I've seen that.
No, we'll have to spend some time on YouTube. It's very funny.
Okay. That's the extent of my sequels. I was going to say format, but that's not right. Just bit, maybe?
I think bit is the word you're looking for.
Trying to get better with vocabulary.
It's, you know, like a comedic piece, you know, like Date Night with Mike and Ryan, like their bit that they do.
That's a format, according to Ryan.
No.
No?
No. I've done a lot of reading, a lot of study.
Mm.
I've seen a lot of Mike and Ryan shows, probably more than they performed, and I can assure you that it's a bit.
Okay.
A form would be if there was like a piece of paper with information, but then there was information that was left blank and you were to fill it out. And then should you do that, you can see the doctor. And if it's funny, it's comedic form. But it's just a bit.
Okay. How's that beer treating you?
It's good. It's good. This is, for the listeners, a Joseph's Brow. Bohemian style lager
from Trader Joe's.
From Trader Joe's, made in San Jose, California. It's pretty tasty. I don't have a lot to say about it.
I'm enjoying a Perrin Brewing Company Lots of Problems Imperial IPA, double IPA. A lot of flavor, very hoppy. I'm enjoying it.
That's the beer of a man who's not worried about driving home.
That's correct. You had mentioned previously that you wanted to talk about Trader Joe's.
Oh,
I was trying.
That was a comedic form where I was just referring to what Cam had said in his Grandcast. He had told that story.
Okay. I didn't even understand the reference to my own show.
I apologize. I mean, I'm a much bigger fan of your show than you are. You see how the sausage is made. I'm half the sausage. That's how they make sausage?
Yeah.
I'm just ground, you know, sausage meat. Whereas I see it and I'm like, I wonder what's underneath that casing. And I listen and I find out.
Mostly dicks and buttholes and ears and lips and tongues. I think that's what sausages are made out of.
I mean, I don't think that's very generous.
Oh. It is not generous?
No, I don't think it's very generous to sausage makers.
Hot dog makers, how about that? But that's not the... You don't see how the hot dog's made, you see how the sausage is made.
I mean, if you think it's hard to see how a sausage is made, you should try seeing how a hot dog is made. It's extremely difficult.
Pink slime. Gross.
Ugh.
They're delicious, though.
Nom nom nom.
Are there vegan hot dogs?
Absolutely, there are vegan hot dogs, and they are actually delicious.
Huh. I'll have to try those.
Next time you're at Johnny B's. You like Johnny B's, right? They're
place. I go there frequently.
Order a veggie dog. Get it dressed however you normally like to have your veggie dog or however you like to have your regular meat-based dog dressed. I'm a fan of classic, kraut style, and Chicago style. Those are my three favorite Johnny B-style dogs. But just ask them to make it a veggie dog, and you will find that it is delicious. And, maybe get you a couple of points in the ethics department.
I could probably use those.
Couldn't hurt.
Yeah. What if it could hurt?
Then I guess you just have to be thoughtful about it and make a, you know, decision. Go forward. Try not to drive yourself crazy thinking about what all You know, what if this, what if that?
I do that a lot.
Sure.
The what ifs. What is the Heller ellipsis?
Who have you been talking to?
This may have been a listener-submitted question.
You really got... I mean, this is some... You really got me with this. Because I didn't want to talk about this.
Bazinga. I don't know if that's the right way to use bazinga.
I'm not sure either.
It works.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm on the spot. I guess I have to talk about it.
I would prefer if you did.
Well, I mean, I would like to comply with your preferences, so I kind of have to.
You're so generous.
Thanks. The Heller ellipsis, you know, put it amongst the greats of grammar, like the Oxford comma. Are you a fan of the Oxford comma?
I am a fan of the Vampire Weekend song,
but you're not a fan of it grammatically.
I use it.
Like, you use it
probably 99% of the time.
I typically use it, although I do consider it optional. I tend on the side of clarity. You know, sometimes it doesn't help.
Sometimes, but sometimes it's a good habit to be in. Necessary. Yeah,
and I'd like to imagine that we're all adults enough to just, you know, act appropriately. We don't need to make a big fuss about it. So that's why I had to move on to something, you know, more controversial for the grammar world.
Okay.
The Heller ellipsis. Why are we using three dots in an ellipsis? We know what one dot means. That means full stop. This sentence is over. Get off the sentence train because there's no more stops. We're fully stopped. Okay? What is two? What's two dots? Now, I know that there's some outliers. I know in shell scripting, for example, it can suggest, you know, a continuation. You could do 1.10. That means 1 through 10. But, you know, that's not where we're pulling our grammar from. I don't want to hear that. And there's some others. I've done some research. There's no overlap with our everyday writing style. Okay. So three dots. You're wasting ink. You're wasting time. You know, how long do you think your eyes are going to last? You're looking at dots. How many of those dots add up?
I hope to have robot eyes.
You hope to have robot eyes, but you don't know that you'll have robot eyes.
Nope.
You're going to need good credit to get those robot eyes. Okay? They're not going to be cheap. Maybe you're an early adopter. Okay? Maybe you get incompatible sockets. You can't get the good robot eyes. They don't make parts for your early adopter robot eyes. Okay?
I'll probably wait for, like, Gen 2 robot eyes.
You probably will, but what if you don't have time? You're running out of time. So, that's why I'm saying two-dot ellipsis. It's all you need. We're adults. We can know that two dots means the same as ellipsis.
You would save so much human potential. Like, 33% of whatever fraction of documents contain ellipsi?
That's correct. Ellipsi is the plural of ellipsis. So let's say that your favorite author wrote 59 and 9/10 of a book, and he was using three-dot ellipsis. Had he been using the Heller ellipsis, you would have gotten that last novel before he passed.
All those keystrokes, all that time.
That's just the top of the pyramid, okay? You've got editors. Okay, they're putting mint in there. You've got copywriters. You've got, you know, you've got mountains of interns. You've got astro crags of interns, okay?
Astro crags.
Yeah. All right? Yeah. So all these people, this is trickling down. People are nicer when they get their cup of coffee. They're like, oh, excuse me, you've made a small error on spelling my name on the coffee cup. They know. They're copy editors, okay? They're going to let them know still. But they're going to be nice about it, okay? That guy's going to go home. He's going to write his novel. That's going to be the guy who's going to write the book that's going to let you know what's wrong with you.
What? You're not thinking about the butterfly effect, because what if that extra fraction of a minute spent typing that third dot in an ellipsis meant that somebody stepped out the door a fraction of a second later to drive somewhere, and as a result, they got a text message slightly earlier in their journey, and when they glanced at their phone, it was a different time frame, and it prevented an accident, and the person they would have collided with in the vehicle was the person that invented sex robots or something world-changing. You don't know the consequences.
Do you know how many times people have come up to me and said, Josh, why are you trying to kill the inventor of sex robots with the butterfly effect of wide adoption of the Hell or Ellipsis? Do you know how many times?
Probably like 12.
More.
17?
That's right.
Mm.
Okay? I'm sick and tired of it because it's ignorant.
Yeah.
All right? That's not going to happen.
You don't know that. Or maybe you do. Are you from the future?
No, but I'm very confident.
Hmm. That's dangerous. You know else who is confident?
No, I don't.
Hitler?
No.
Very confident. Well, actually, I don't know. I never read his journals. Maybe he was filled with self-doubt.
You know, he probably had imposter syndrome.
Hmm.
Everyone I've ever met has imposter syndrome.
Everyone?
I mean, that's my reading on people.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, no, I'd like to move on. I don't want to talk about Hitler anymore.
Right. Well, I would like to state that I fully support the Heller Ellipsis going forward. I'm going to start using it in all my documents and conversations, even though I suspect many people will infer that it's simply a typo. Because it's easy to typo one keystroke, but two keystrokes in a row, that states intention.
The people whose opinion matters are going to see the trend, and they're going to intuit. Why is he doing this? I know Chris is a smart guy. I know Chris knows how to use grammar. The rest of the grammar is good. He's doing this consistently. They're going to know it's not a typo. And those idiots who keep claiming it's a typo, despite all the other evidence, fuck them. Okay?
You're so confident that I have to agree with you. And
that being said, I do not use the Heller Ellipsis in business communications. No, it's purely personal communications that I use it.
Why?
Because I don't want to have that conversation at work.
Why not?
Because I'm going to have to tell some people to fuck themselves.
Justifiably.
Justifiably, but it's not a part of our culture. Culture is important.
You're trying to change the culture.
Trying to change the culture, starting globally, thinking locally.
It's a good way to do it. Next topic. Are you looking to replace Cam in Planned Parenthood now that he's moved to Chicago? And I also have a statement.
Read your statement, because I have something I need to say.
Those are some big time shoes to fill.
Okay, now I have two things to say because that was hilarious.
Thank you.
Your delight. Okay, so no one's ever going to replace Cam, all right? Will we get a fifth member? Maybe. Will they replace Cam? Absolutely not.
I phrased the question poorly.
You were pretty insensitive.
I was. I'm sorry, Cam. Are you looking for someone to add to the Planned Parenthood family now that Cam is on hiatus?
Well, we'd love to expand the family. We're definitely going through a period of creative growth. We are going to continue doing staged improv shows as a four-piece until we find someone really special who's a really good fit. We're not going to do the thing where we just ask people to join. We can do a show as four people. I love the four people who are there and have total confidence in them, and I'm excited to play with them. I'd like to think that you're going to see some more scripted material and more filmed material. Oh, and good. In those places, I'd really like to mix it up and expand the extended family, the aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins. I want to see more of those people coming in. I want to have opportunities to work with other people. But as far as the nuclear family, I think right now we're going to keep that to Sean, Andy, Tom, Josh, Planned Parenthood.
Excellent. I have heard you referred to as the Morrissey of Grand Rapids. How do you feel about that?
You know, that is really complimentary because I love Morrissey. But despite my charm and veganism, I have very little in common with Morrissey. But I love Morrissey. I love his music at very least. And I think he's fascinating. He's helped me through some tough times. Not personally, but his work. He's been there with me during good times, personally. But I am not the Morrissey of Grand Rapids.
Hmm. That sounds like something that Morrissey would say.
If you are listening to this later tonight or tomorrow morning, there is a Smiths cover band at the Stash in the Intersection.
Oh.
I'm not going to make it out because I'm going to Ned Talks. But I watched some videos of the Smiths cover band. They're called, don't know what they're called.
The German cover band of the Smiths?
Nope.
Oh.
They sounded great. If I had the evening free, I would have loved to have gone. So consider it. And they're playing right alongside a Cure cover band, which would have been, I'm not as big a Cure fan, but it would be super fun.
Yeah. And the Stash is the front room.
I believe that's the front room. Yeah. I wasn't 100% clear, but I think that's how that works.
They're looking to expand that location, I believe. I don't know if it's the whole building or just the front or what's going on there.
I don't know.
Me either. What is Heller's Law?
Heller's Law? You don't know?
For the sake of our listening audience, no, I'm unfamiliar with Heller's Law. Could you please explain it to me?
Sure. Heller's Law states that any comment can be reasonably responded to by making the jerk-off motion. And the phrase Heller's Law can also be used as a verbal stand-in for the jerk-off motion if you were in an environment where you'd feel uncomfortable, you know, like a christening or something, or like a funeral. You're like, I really feel like somebody's being a jerk-off right now, but I don't want to...
For the listening audience, right. Jock is... Jock?
Jock. Jock.
I said Jock because I was looking at your jockal region since you were making a gesture of stroking quite a large salami.
Seemed that large to me. So you can just say Heller's Law and people will understand. You know, people in the know are going to understand you're saying like...
That was far more comprehensible to me because of the size of the motion you just made. I related to that a lot more strongly. I'll have to try to integrate that into my social interactions. I like it.
You know, it's rarely a nice thing to say, but it's a way to be aware of when somebody's being a jerk off.
Or if they are, in fact, jerking off and you want to call attention to it.
Perhaps. I've never used it in that specific environment. You'll have to let me know.
Yeah, you didn't see Love and Semiotics, did you?
No, I didn't, and I really wanted to. I chatted with Kimmy about it afterwards, and everyone had good things to say.
Yeah,
and
they only did a two-day production run, though, so that was tough to get in.
Yeah. And Al was in it. Who else was in it? Anyways, yeah. I didn't make it out. It sounded fantastic. I really wanted to see. Kimmy seems like a super bright person with lots of ideas that I would love to see staged. But
yeah, hopefully she does more. In your opinion, what is the origin of karaoke?
You know, it doesn't seem like something that you'd want to have someone's opinion on. Seems like something you could just do a little research on and know.
I heard that you have a strong opinion on the matter.
I'm only asking the questions. Karaoke Japanese?
Is Chris, it pronounced?
Karaoke Japanese?
I was under the impression it might be pronounced karaoke? Something similar to that?
That shows how little I know.
I don't know. Karaoke? Karaoke? I just don't know.
Whatever it is, I think it might be Japanese.
Karaoke Japanese?
That's exactly what I'm asking.
Karaoke Japanese?
I don't know. I think it might be.
How could you find out?
We could look it up.
Anybody can edit Wikipedia.
You could edit Mint into it, but I don't think that's what we're here to do.
You could also check the changelog history to see if Mint in it was edited it into it.
Yeah, that's true. It would be interesting to do a global search on changelogs to see if there are spikes on times where Mint is edited into things.
To detect Illuminati subversion?
Sure.
Because King James was one of the founders of a secret order.
That's correct.
To censor the humor in original Christianity.
That's right. Christianity used to be a fucking laugh. It had more laughs a minute than I Heart Huckabees, which isn't that much, but is way more than the Bible today.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing now. In a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways.
All the guilt and the shame and the lack of poop jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hit a cable. Sorry if that sounded bad, Tom. Cats or dogs?
I love cats, although I'm allergic to cats, so I'm going dogs.
Would you get a dog yourself?
If I had time to be with a dog and not ignore it, I would love to have a dog. If I worked from home for some reason, or if I was able to take my dog to the bank, like in Gremlins, that would be amazing. But right now where I'm at, I don't have the environment that would be good for a dog, so I don't have a dog.
That's fair. And since this is your episode number 2, speaking of number 2s, how does being vegan affect your poop?
You know, I think the biggest change is that I no longer have, like, bad times. Did you ever, you know, like, you eat a holiday meal and then you go into the bathroom and you have bad times?
Like, where it's like...
You're like, oh, I'm not being productive. I'm not happy. I don't feel good. I'm having bad times right now.
Sometimes if I eat pizza, there's all that cheese and the processed bread. Can be very
binding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like big hard ones.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So I guess the big thing is I don't have bad times.
Huh.
I don't know if it's just greater fiber or if I tend to avoid the worst offenders of
the cheese,
greasy, bad-for-you food.
The proteins.
Sure. I'm not sure, but I tend to have gotten the worst experiences in the bathroom out of my life when I went vegan.
Huh. That sounds like a nice benefit. What are some of your favorite podcasts?
Are we doing President Company included or President Company excluded?
Let's do inclusive of President company.
Okay. Well, I mean, I love the Grand Cast.
Me too.
And I'm really excited for the future of the Grand Cast, because right now I think a lot of the guest picks have been kind of softballs.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like, you had Josh Heller on.
I did.
And, I mean, that guy, he just wants to see you succeed. He's a big fan of you professionally, and he's starting to warm up to you personally.
Aw.
Yeah. It's happening. It's a real thing. Some of these other guys, you know, they're so desperate for attention.
Thirsty.
They are thirsty. I recently learned what that meant in that context. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm on board now. I'm glad I learned it off air.
I drink a lot of water.
You do. You do.
I think that helps with the thirst.
So I'm really excited to see where the Grand Cast goes.
Me too.
I'd like to hear from some more experienced comedians, people who've been in it longer.
Yeah,
I'd like
too.
To hear from people who aren't men. I think it'd be nice.
White men, as every one of my guests
so far has been. You've had
white
men and
Tom.
Guatemalan men. Yeah.
I forgot Tom was number two in episodes.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think he's half white. So, I mean, you haven't had a whole non-white person on yet.
People don't call Obama the half-black president, though. He gets full credit.
All right.
Tom gets full credit. So I have not had only white men on the podcast. I have had all men.
You know,
so
if we had to go this far,
I'm only
it,
sexist.
You probably
and
still
not,
have work to do.
That's a very good point.
Okay. So I'm going to take this long to talk about each podcast.
Oh, okay.
JK, I'm not going to do that. I'm just gonna shoot off my favorites from here. You Made It Weird, Pete Holmes podcast.
Very
fantastic.
Funny.
One-on-one interviews.
Very deep.
Very deep. A little bit hippy dippy with the spirituality sometimes.
Yeah.
Some people like that. Some people don't. I'm a fan. His new show's out, Crashing on HBO. First episode, watched it. Very funny.
Very good.
Upcoming Sunday, episode 2. Looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Judd Apatow produced.
Absolutely. Next on the list, UCB Long Form Conversations. I'm very much interested in long form improv. And these are some people doing some in-depth convos on the topic.
The Upright Citizens Brigade.
That's right. That's right.
One of the longest running improv troops?
I don't know. I mean, they are
troops. The right...
They are troop, but they... yeah, I don't know exactly how you'd classify that. Or how they would stack up to other...
Organizations?
They're a theater. They're a bi-coastal theater. They have New York and LA.
Oh, they're bi.
Yeah, they're bi in New York. They have a Chelsea and an East theater. And then they have at least one theater in LA. I don't know if they're bi in LA.
Huh.
A little unintuitive there. I listened to Embedded, the Embedded Systems podcast with Alicia and Chris White. A little nerdery. It's fantastic.
Are they related, or is it like
they
the White Stripes
wife,
where
husband
it's
and wife.
For production
it's not like the
value?
White Stripes, no.
Mm. I'm still a little resentful at Jack White for misleading me.
You got played. You got played.
Such a talented artist, but why the games? Why,
you know, you're a young group out there, you're trying to differentiate yourself, you're trying to get attention, a rumor starts, at first you deny it, but then you say, wait, we can make this work for us, and you do. And then you get so big and you say, is this what it's built on? Was it me this whole time? Or was it the lie?
Or were they married?
Yeah, I think they were married.
Oh. Maybe I just didn't understand what their relationship was.
No, I'm sure as hell not going to look it up.
Falsely betrayed, just only by my own misunderstanding. That happens.
If you feel
frequently.
It,
it's
it
real,
happened.
Right? Yeah.
Great, so,
in my opinion, Jack White, greatest musical artist of our time. That's my opinion.
Just going down this list, Radiolab, classic. Everybody knows it.
NPR.
NPR. Or WNYC?
Is it?
Not sure. It is WNYC Studios.
Oh, they have a good YouTube channel.
They produce a lot of great content. Also from WNYC, Note to Self. It's kind of like a podcast about how tech intersects with life. So it's kind of like...
Say intersex?
Intersects.
Intersex.
Not intersex. Between
technology and humanity?
Yes, intersects. I'm ready to move on. Okay. LMNOP podcast. Stu McAllister's podcast. I think Stu McAllister is pretty great as a pillar of comedy in Grand Rapids, and I enjoy his podcast.
I'm writing that one down.
Yep.
I don't listen to enough local podcasts.
Gimlet Media's Reply to All, also kind of a tech but people stories. It's great. I mean, I've got a lot on here that I don't really pay much attention to. Shut Up, Sit Down, the best board gaming podcast, hands down. What's your board gaming podcast? You listen to a board gaming podcast?
Nope.
Then this is the one you have to listen to. I was going to shit on whatever you said unless it was Shut Up and Sit Down.
I mostly watch YouTube videos for board gaming related things.
Okay, okay.
I'm more visual.
They make since really the games great are... videos. They don't do videos on a lot of their games. They do primarily text reviews. They do videos for games that they really like, although they only do videos for games that are going to be in stock because that can be very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You get it. And then on the podcast, they talk about kind of like all the stuff that's going on. Comedy Bang Bang, I really love, can't keep up with.
They do a lot of episodes.
Too much. Laser Time, pop culture podcast. Lena Dunham podcast, I just got through the second season of. I'm a fan. I started listening to, they're not making episodes recently, but the Department of Promethean Science, another improv podcast. The gimmick here is they take a suggestion, they do a two-person scene, and then they spend the second half of the podcast talking about how they made their choices, what they were thinking, where they're drawing from, what skills led them to do the things that they did. So it's kind of educational.
Is it inspired by the Ridley Scott film series Prometheus?
No.
Is this a coincidence with the name?
Purely coincidence. They cover that in the preamble of each episode. Well, those that were recorded after the initial teaser trailers of Prometheus.
They came first.
Yeah.
So maybe Ridley Scott was inspired by their podcast.
They have posited that Ridley Scott may have been inspired by the podcast.
Hmm.
They haven't been able to get any confirmation from Scott's camp. But I tend to hold that belief myself. I also have been enjoying, it's over now, but Life After, it's like the GE Theater, General Electric Theater. They make these, radio drama style shows. The first one they did was called The Message. They're kind of like sci-fi radio dramas.
War of the Worlds style.
I mean, I don't think the world is in the same place it was when it heard War of the Worlds. It's a sci-fi radio drama. Just accept.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're setting your phone down, so I'm assuming we've reached the conclusion of that portion.
Yeah, yeah.
Next question. Can vegans ride horses?
I mean, a vegan can do anything.
Would it be typical for a vegan to ride a horse without moral trepidation? I don't know if that's the right word.
Sure.
Reservations?
I certainly understand what you're asking.
Is it ethical? Well, I guess that's a whole nother thing. Like, there's different kinds of vegans, right?
Absolutely.
The people's motivation for being vegan. In your specific case, it's ethical veganism. So would you personally ride a horse?
You know, I don't think I'm ready to take a strong stance that I would never ride a horse. But I have no plans to ride a horse. It is not interesting to me. I don't understand the culture around horse riding. And that's part of the reason that I also am not going to condemn it. It's not something I have any understanding of. I think, smart, thoughtful people ride horses. Some of them are vegans. Some vegans will tell you that it is totally non-consensual and inappropriate to ride a horse. I don't know enough about it to make a strong case either way.
Fair enough. I'm going to redo this question a little bit.
Sure.
Now that I have some better understanding. Can ethical vegans have animal pets?
I think...
Or would it be morally typical?
I think it is morally typical. I think there are some ways that vegans might think differently about pet ownership. Like, if I had a dog, I would, as much as possible, seek to feed it a vegan diet. Most dogs do very well on a vegan diet. You feed it dog food just like any other dog food, except for this dog food happens to be made without animals. Many vegans do own cats. Cats typically can't do well on a vegan diet, and they'll feed it cat food that isn't vegan. And, you know, cats aren't vegans. Sometimes vegans want cats. That's just the way it is. There's probably some types of animals that aren't particularly well suited to domestication, and vegans probably would shy away from keeping a non-domesticated animal as a pet.
Would a bird be a somewhat ideal pet since they mostly eat seeds?
I don't know how other vegans feel. When I see large, smart birds in a cage, it bums me out.
So that's a good point.
I probably wouldn't keep birds. Also, I don't find them to be that pleasant to have in your home. I don't like the way they smell or sound. Doesn't mean other people shouldn't enjoy bird friendship. Just not my thing.
Thank you for your perspective. What online streaming shows are you watching?
So we're watching...
Crashing,
sure. We're watching Crashing. We're watching the final season of Girls, and I'm excited for Silicon Valley to start up. So those are HBO shows. Our Netflix series we're watching is The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
How's that?
I've been enjoying it a lot. It's kind of like Candy. It's kind of like a drama, but it's also kind of like a tabloid story. I'm not sure how much they play with the factuality of it. But it's just been a real fun watch for me.
I'm not familiar with that show. Is it just like surrounding the events?
It's an FX drama about the trial. If that helps. So it's from both sides. They try to not take a position on the did he or didn't he? Because that's the most interesting position for the viewer. Well, you know, I haven't seen the rest of the show, so
spoiler alert.
There's some you know, counter theories.
Is that the one with John Travolta?
John Travolta looks very different than you've seen him, as he plays. Someone. I should know the names of these people. He plays the lead lawyer on the defense. I can't recall his name. Also, the second season of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is now on Netflix, which is a little guilty pleasure of mine. I catch that when Brittany's not around because she doesn't care for it. So it's something I can watch when we're not together to watch our together shows. Are you familiar with it?
No, I've never heard of it.
It's like a standard TV sitcom, but it has musical numbers. It has a bunch of people from UCB. It has funny people. It's kind of that on-the-nose, lame comedy, but it's also kind of smart and funny, too.
It's on Netflix.
Both seasons are available on Netflix.
I was speaking with Tom Hunt earlier about how I need to watch the characters, because I haven't yet.
You should really watch the characters.
Yeah.
That's better than all the Netflix shows that I've talked about so far.
I'll bump that up to the top of my list. I recently signed up for CISO, so I've been watching Bajillion Dollar Properties and Harmontown.
HarmonQuest.
Oh, yes, HarmonQuest. Harmontown is the podcast and the documentary.
I'm looking forward to talking to you after you've spent some more time with CISO. I had it for maybe about 3 months, and I decided to drop it just because I wasn't watching it very much. The UCB show is worth watching. When I was there, there was just one season. There's a second season. I think you've seen all the cyanide and happiness stuff.
I haven't. I watched some of the first season, which I got on, I think, Blu-ray from the Kickstarter.
Sure.
And some of it was very dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's just the show. Like, cyanide and happiness. It's in the title. Like, half of it's going to be awful, awful stuff, and half of it's going to be, like, lull.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they put the baby in the car trunk with the bowling ball, that crossed the line for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not up my alley, but I know that you are a fan.
I am a big fan, and they do really creative work, and when I was younger, I didn't mind the dark side of the show nearly as much as I do now. So I'll probably check out like the third season, which just came out, to see if that's maybe not in such, I want to say poor taste, but it's not poor taste. It's more
tasteless.
Yes. Yeah, relatively tasteless.
Also, there's a bunch of good British stuff if you missed it. It's worth checking
Flying
out.
Flying Circus.
There's a bunch of stuff that I didn't get into, but maybe just because I didn't have the right context. And their original Flowers, I think it's called. It's a British show, but it's made for CISO, or it's only available on CISO in the US. I'm not sure. I really like that a lot. It's kind of a dark comedy.
Flowers. All right. Yeah, I signed up because Nick Thune has a new special, which was only on CISO. So that's what got me to sign up.
Sure.
For the 7-day free trial. But it was like, we both went to see Nick Thune at Dr. Grin's last fall. And the special was almost identical.
Sure, it's from that hour.
Yeah, but he seemed more nervous, I guess. So I preferred the one we saw.
It's probably easy to be laid back in Grand Rapids if you're all across the country comic.
Trying to impress the 60 people in Dr. Grin's or whatever it is. 100 people, I don't know what their capacity is.
Yeah, so I might go back to CISO when I feel like I have some time to binge. There's some interesting stuff there, and I'm surprised I don't hear from more people who are interested, because we know a lot of people are interested in comedy. It doesn't seem like people are watching it.
No.
So, we'll see.
I learned while I was researching before I signed up that they are owned by Comcast NBC Universal, which made me somewhat reluctant to give them money. Because I don't feel like they're good.
So this is either news or conspiracy, but CISO is the first of a series of focused streaming sites that are designed to capture markets that aren't otherwise addressed by more mainstream services. So it's like a different payment model for streaming delivery content. If you're a comedy fan, you'll grab CISO. If you're a sports fan, you'll grab NFL Network. And if you also are, you know, you have family in Korea, you might get the Korean channel or something. So it's a way to find those markets and match people up with different types of content. And if CISO and whatever other products that they've released go well, we'll see more of these. And if it flops, maybe that won't be a thing in the future.
Interesting. Libby says hello and that you're in her top three favorite Planned Parenthood members. That wasn't a question at all. That was just a statement.
Thank you.
Relaying to you. Sorry, I hit the cable again. If that sounded bad, Tom, I apologize.
Should we start over?
From the beginning? I can take that out in post.
Okay.
I'm not going to, but I can.
It's good to know that you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for you to know.
Yeah. I feel better. Tell me about your experience playing music in bands. Probably I don't need the word music in there, right? Playing in bands is music.
Well, I mean, playing music is just part of the experience. Is that the part you're interested in?
Nope. So, yeah. Forget I said music. Tell me about your experience playing in bands, please.
So, I would suggest that I really have experience playing music in one band. I played around with music since I was maybe about 16, playing guitars and bass guitar,
The axe?
The axe. You know, all the major axes, the axe, the bass axe. And it was always something I really liked. I'm not a naturally extroverted person. Especially at that time, the idea of performing was very uncomfortable for me. But I eventually got to a point where I didn't have a lot going on and I love playing music. And, so my initial experience playing in bands, well, let's discount all the teenage garage bandy things. So there were those. They're those typical things.
No record deals from those?
No record deals. We did record things on a tape recorder.
Do you still have those?
I believe I do.
Ooh.
Yeah, you can come over sometime and we'll get drunk. And we can listen to them. And then what'll happen is you'll be drunk and trying to talk to me. You'll be like, listen! You gotta listen, man! So there's all those things. All those things you'd expect. But then later I moved to Grand Rapids and I started doing the Craigslist thing where I was like trying to meet people at Craigslist, and that went on for a long time. For playing music.
Is that a euphemism?
Not a euphemism, no.
On Craigslist?
Yeah, like imagine it's like you're using Craigslist to buy a car, but instead of buying a car, you're trying to meet people to play music. Does that help?
You didn't make air quotes when you said buying a car.
No.
Huh.
We'll talk more about this afterwards.
Yeah, I guess my experience using Craigslist differs greatly from yours.
Sure. And I'm sure there's some overlap, too. So
some missed connections, maybe?
So, maybe. So, eventually, I found some people who needed someone to play guitar. And
again, no air quotes.
No air quotes, no.
This whole thing's going to be literal.
This is going to be primarily literal.
Okay.
Maybe a little self-aggrandizing, but literal.
Okay. I'm in the right frame of mind now.
And I got really lucky to meet up with a group of people who were cool, and they were already doing stuff around town. They were playing shows, and they had one self-recorded album. And basically, they... the singer at the time was playing guitar, but she was really a keyboard pianist, flautist. And so she was doing the work, but that wasn't her strong thing. And she wanted someone else to be responsible for playing guitar. And I was like,
so that
hey,
she could be a pianist flautist?
Excuse me?
She wanted someone to take over guitars so she could focus on being a pianist flautist?
I think primarily she wanted to focus on being a frontman.
Frontman?
A frontman, yeah.
I'm unfamiliar with the concept of a frontman.
Well, so a lot of people in a band might sing, but someone might be the lead singer, and they're also the person who introduces the group, they dance around during the guitar solo, they lead the band, they help people hit cues because they're in charge, they're the leader, and they're the primary showman. So I think that was part of the goal, is that she wanted more support
from the group.
She.
She. But she was woman?
A frontman and a showman.
Yeah.
Those terms seem sexist to me.
Our language is sexist. I don't know of better terms, and if you do, I'd be happy to give them a try.
Front person?
We can say front person. It sounds very awkward
show
to me.
Show person?
But we will say that she is the front person and show person.
Okay. I would be more comfortable with that.
I want you to be
comfortable. I'm trying to be more progressive in my speech and my thoughts.
Seems like a worthwhile effort.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I slotted in there, and it was great because I got to play with these, the best musicians I'd ever gotten to play with, because I was playing with, friends and Craigslist losers. Well, they weren't all losers, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And we got to play together for a couple of years, and we got to record an album, which was like such a personal goal. Something that made me feel so great as someone who loved music to get to do that. We got to play around a lot of the typical places that smaller bands will play around here. We opened for Shaggy. So
the,
yeah,
she caught me red handed.
Yeah.
Banging on the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
Picture this.
Yeah.
What was his other song?
I don't know.
Did he have another song?
I think he had another hit that people who know that type of music know better, but I don't. So anyways, we got to open for Shaggy. We got to play in front of a lot of people, and I got to meet a lot of people through it. And
did you meet Shaggy?
No.
Oh.
No. And I had a lot of fun. And then eventually, Juliet, the person who was fronting the band and writing most of the songs, she went to LA to write. And we went our own ways. And that left the opening for me to start playing with comedy stuff and focusing on other things.
Hmm. Do you think you'd ever like to revisit that hobby?
I would love to. Yeah, there's a lot of overhead in playing in a band, and it's hard for me to imagine giving up so much of what I do now to make space for that. But I would love if there was some sort of overlap with improv comedy. And there's some ways that that might make sense, although I don't have it together to be doing any of that right now, but that's a little side dream of mine. And I mean, I love goofing around with friends, playing music, having fun, getting Tom Hunt in my basement.
What does he play?
He plays guitar. Yeah. So normally it's him on the guitar, me on the drum kit, improvising musicals. And we'll go at it for literally hours.
I would love to experience that someday.
You may or may not.
It's just a private thing just for you guys.
You should definitely get a taste.
Even if it's just like a 6-second Snapchat.
You should get a taste of a full length performance. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. Yeah, so playing in bands is really fun. A lot of creative, interesting people. An excuse to get out of the house when maybe I'm otherwise the sort of person who would just stay home. Something creative to keep me healthy and happy. It was really good for me.
Nice. Thank you for sharing. Last but not least, final question of the interview portion. What are some of your favorite comedy movies?
You know, comedy movies these days feel kind of throwaway to me. Like, yeah. They're good for a laugh in the theater. I think you even talked about this maybe with Ryan. They're kind of good for a laugh in the theater, and then they're kind of dumb. They're kind of dumb.
They won't withstand the test of time.
Yeah. So I like classic comedy movies. The ones that come to mind. I'm sure I'm not going to remember all of my favorite movies.
Sure.
The Jerk.
Oh yeah, Steve Martin.
Easy Peas. Really, a lot of Steve Martin movies are really hilarious. The other one that comes to mind is L.A. Story.
Three Amigos?
Three Amigos is really fun. It's also a little dumb, but it's very, very fun.
I haven't watched that in so long. I can't recall if it's racially insensitive or not.
It probably
but I don't...
I mean, they go to Mexico, and it was like the late 80s. I'm sure it's awful.
Yeah.
Speaking of awful things, Annie Hall.
Woody Allen?
Woody Allen is awful, but I think that Annie Hall is a hilarious movie. Hmm. And it's definitely one of those movies I think of when I think of classic American comedies.
I don't think I've ever seen that. Is it a musical?
No.
I must be thinking of something else.
Might be thinking of something else.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, I like to go to the movie theater and just laugh. And it's okay if it's kind of dumb. You know, one movie that I will admit is dumb, but just... Speaking of current events, cracks me up. Mark Wahlberg, what's his best comedy movie? Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg in
Boogie Nights?
The Other Guys.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why that's the movie that breaks me up, but it does. I think that movie's hilarious.
It was funny.
It's dumb.
Did you stay and watch the credits of that film?
I don't think I ever watched it in the theater.
It's probably on the normal credits also.
And I probably haven't watched the credits. What happens?
If I'm recalling this correctly, I believe it was a whole bunch of like financial data related to the crisis. Like for some reason, whoever directed that film like decided to include some like strong political information during the credits of the movie. I think it was that one. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But
it would kind of make sense because that was Will Ferrell's thing. He was like the paperwork uncovering the, you know, that was his thing. So maybe. But I don't recall that.
I'll have to check. Maybe I'm spewing disinformation at a rate that would make, what's his name, Steve Bannon blush? Is it Steve Bannon?
It is Steve Bannon.
Or Alex Jones.
You know, Alex Jones used to be a lovable crackpot. And yeah. Now that the world has changed, where'd my lovable crackpot go?
He's like dangerous now.
Alex Jones was in Waking Life.
That's
was? Where I met Alex Jones.
I don't remember that.
Good and movie. Now he's a real shitheel.
He was recently on the Joe Rogan podcast.
How'd that go?
It was very interesting because they smoked some weed. He had started drinking whiskey. And he just goes off the deep end, like very seriously speaking about like interdimensional vampires and all this stuff that there's absolutely no basis for in reality. And he's talking about it with the confidence of Hitler.
You know, Hitler probably had some imposter syndrome. So Alex Jones might also.
And he's just overcompensating with even more confidence or the appearance of confidence.
Yeah. I really love crackpot stuff. I grew up reading like Robert Anton Wilson and Timothy Leary stuff, and I love that stuff. And in no way do I feel like that's reality, but I'm like, you know, in the absence of the typical metaphor that people use to think about the world, like just cranking that stuff through the gears of your brain, like it's good, it's fun, it's entertaining. But then, you know, if you recontextualize it, it's a bunch of hurtful bullshit.
Yeah. Like, extremely harmful. And he says it so seriously.
Alien abduction stuff? Who doesn't want to read about that? But then you're not supposed to, like, kick Mexicans out because they're aliens. You know? You're just supposed to read the book and then like, let it work on your brain and make you think about stuff that's not whatever you do during the day. And yeah, that makes you better, not being a shitheel.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so that is going to conclude the first portion of the show. I still haven't had time to create a musical transition into the break, so if you wouldn't mind doing some sort of performance in that reaches a conclusion and then ring the bell so I know to turn this thing off, I would really appreciate it. For the listening audience, Josh is miming pulling on a rope. Hand over hand, he's pulling in some kind of cable. He's looking up, making a shocked expression on his face, leaping backwards. Opened a door, or closed the door? Closed the second door. Grabbed something, threw it at the doorway, making a shocked expression. He's catching things in his mouth. No, he's choking. He's choking. He's